I'll be just really brief this morning. I appreciate all the work that's gone into this day. It's for our veterans. I do want to read just one verse of Scripture and make a few references, and we'll continue with the balance of the program. In the book of 1 Samuel, we have an account of when the armies of the Philistines have gathered against Israel, and they are in a state of just stall right now. There's a great giant, Goliath, who's challenged the armies of Israel, and a young man comes to the forefront, just a young man with no particular skills but a great trust in God. And he makes this statement. His name is David. You know the story well, how that he will take a small stone and a sling and go against a massive giant with great weapons of war. And he'll defeat that giant and give all the glory to God. But in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verse 29, before the battle is engaged, David makes this statement or asks this question. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David said there was a cause. That's why he came to that position. That's why he stepped forward and came to the defense of his nation. That's why he stepped forward to defend his home, his father, his brethren, and all the nation of Israel. There's a call on military personnel, men and women. I've learned that over a period of time. God called me to the gospel ministry. But what is it that would cause a young man or a young woman to forsake normal careers and live a life of ease and pleasure, to go into a rigorous training program, and then endanger their lives to defend their countrymen? Why is it they choose to do that? I personally believe it's because of divine call on their life. There's something inside of them that causes them to want to do that. We heard the testimony of Kay Allen a while ago of her grandson, how that from a young child, Mikey, all he's wanted to do is serve in the military. I believe God put that in the hearts of men and women to serve in that capacity. Many, of course, were pressed into service because of the attack of enemies on our soil, and they responded. But there was still something inside of them that gave them a willingness to forsake home and land and family, to risk their own life, to defend the lives of others. There's a divine call. And I want to remind all of you who are here today and all of our veterans, I want to express to you our great appreciation once again for you responding to that inner call of a holy God to do that for us. There's not only in this passage of Scripture that call of the soldier, but there is the courage of that soldier. David says to his friends and to his countrymen, "Be not afraid. God is in control." The courage of that soldier is not the absence of fear. General Douglas MacArthur once said that courage is not the absence of fear, but is that willingness to do that which is right in the face of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's a willingness to serve and do what needs to be done because of our call to service. Not only do I notice in this passage of Scripture that courage of that soldier, but his confidence. David gives the confidence, and he words it this way in this passage of Scripture. In verse number 45, he says this, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand.'" Further, David goes on and he makes this statement, and he says this, "And to all the assembly shall know that the Lord saved not a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." The confidence of that soldier is based on his belief in a holy God, one nation under God. And God is our helper. He's our deliverer. And thank God for that. As I thought about this Veterans Day while I was even in the Philippines and doing the ministry we did there, I was anticipating this day. I couldn't hardly wait to get home. It's always a special time of the year for me. My brothers both served in the military. I have my grandfathers and others who served. Regina's family served in the military, and they're very proud of their service. The thought came to me, what is it that we owe to our veterans? We owe what we've done today in a greater portion than we've ever done it before. On last year, we recognized our veterans. Today, we only have one World War II veteran here with us today. On last year, Preacher Herbert Burke was here. At an astounding rate, our World War II veterans are passing off the scene. We are honored today to have our World War II veteran here with us today. But we owe all of our veterans, those who are now active duty, those who've served in the past. First of all, we owe them our respect. They need that. They deserve that respect for what they've done for us. We ought to acknowledge that respect by our words and our actions. Whenever you see a person in military dress, quite often as I visit the Veterans Hospital or any other place, I from time to time see people who wear a hat or T-shirt identifying themselves as a veteran. I've made it a practice to always try to speak to them and tell them I appreciate them serving our country. You owe them that respect. That's not very much appreciation. That's not very much for us to give. But it's the least that we could do is to show our respect by commenting to them and speaking to them about their service. We owe to them our prayers and our gratitude. We ought to pray for our veterans, those who are serving currently, in danger of their lives every day, even though they may not be on a battlefield where there's a conflict currently going on. But they deserve our prayers. We owe all the veterans and all of our current personnel our prayers to pray for them, that God would keep them safe. We owe to them our prayers for their families and pray that God would keep them safe. We owe that to them. But then in reading on last night the statement of Abraham Lincoln in what's called the Gettysburg Address, as he dedicated that great national battlefield there, the graveyard there in Gettysburg, one statement from that's known as the Gettysburg Address, he said, "We owe to these fallen soldiers that they will not have died in vain. You and I owe to our veterans that what they live for and what they died for and what they served for, will that they have not served in vain. Those principles of life and freedom and all that they gave their lives for, we must fight every day here in America to maintain those principles, those basic principles that we have as a country, guaranteed in our Constitution, that are quickly eroding away. But we owe it to those who have given their life and blood that we'll not let down their standard, that we'll not surrender without a fight, that we too will do our fight, whether it be at the ballot box or in public speeches or whatever it has to be, that we're going to stand firm for what they've lived for and died for, the principles of freedom and democracy here in our country, for the individual to have the freedom to grow and to worship God and to do that openly without any regard or without any threat of intervention of the government into our religious practices and our religious pursuits, that we might have the freedom of speech, that we might have the freedom of the press, and all those things that they've lived and died for. We owe it to them for that. Then we owe it to them as we owe to the whole world. Paul said, "I'm debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek, to the Gentile and to the Jew." He said, "I'm debtor." What is the great debt that he owed to them? It was the debt of the gospel. While we may give men accolades here, we may give them our applause here, the greatest gift that we can give to any person, man, woman, boy, girl, is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to point them to Calvary, to let them know that Jesus Christ loved them and died for them. We owe to the veterans, those people who've given so much to us. We need to give to them that greatest message of hope and joy and peace the world's ever known. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our veterans who are here today, and those who lay in graves around the world defending our freedom, need to know that their death was not in vain politically, but their death is not the end spiritually. that they need to know that they can live for all eternity in a place called heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done for them. They can have life and have it more abundantly here, but they can have eternal life in a place called heaven. That message is a message for you and for all of our veterans. We owe that to them. Those who've given us so much, let's give them the opportunity to live forever in a place called heaven. My heart, my love, my prayer goes out to all of our veterans here present and all those who may hear this radio broadcast, and let you know that your friends at Benson Grove Baptist Church love you and are praying for you. And if there's anything in the world we can do for you, we want to do that. One other thing before Cheryl comes back, I have a word of prayer. But Barry mentioned to me a while ago something that I had thought about. I have been blessed to see the efforts of a community, our community, and communities across the nation, in what's called the Flight of Honor. That is allowing our veterans who have fought and defended us in World War II to make that pilgrimage to Washington to see the monument that was so long coming in their honor. And so we want to give you a chance, Cheryl, this is a little add-on at the end just before we go out to dinner, but I'm going to have our ushers to come. And as a church body and visitors and guests this morning, if you'd like to donate toward that, the cause of the Flight of Honor, my understanding is there's going to be two more flights, and we want to be a participant of that, and so we'll give you a chance. That's one way that you can honor our vets. Will you bow with me for prayer? Cheryl's going to come, and we'll recognize those who have done such a fantastic job in the program this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you and magnify that name which is above every name. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of being a Christian and being a citizen of this great nation. And our Father, we are standing here today in 2010 because in days gone by, many of which have given their lives that we might have the freedom to stand in a pulpit and freedom in a country to recognize and honor our veterans and our active military today. Thank you for that. Thank you for their families. Thank you for their sacrifices. And thank you, our Father, for the privilege today of having just a small part and do what we can to recognize and honor these, our personal heroes here in our community. And we thank you now for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and dying for us. And God, I pray that God, you'll bless each veteran and their family and all of their extended family today. In Jesus' name, amen.